In the fourth module, we discuss the use of PARP inhibitors in the management of patients with prostate cancer. To begin, we ask the audience whether or not they're recommending BRCA germline testing for patients with metastatic prostate cancer, and about three-quarters of the audience said they would. The faculty in general agreed, and I asked Dr. Sternberg to comment on her approach.
I think the problem is that there aren't enough genetic counselors in the world who are absolutely capable of doing this, and we need more genetic counselors who are aware of the problem. But when I've had patients that are BRCA2, even in Italy, and I had the whole family tested, I had them tested, and they spoke to a genetic counselor before they went for the testing. They spoke to me before they went to the testing. They understood what they were getting themselves into with the testing, what it could mean. But I think it's a combination. But I think one of the problems is that there aren't enough genetic counselors.
So Howard, Eileen O'Reilly from your place, she said, and some parts of Memorial, and I'm curious whether it's getting in the GU, they're showing patients a video that, you know, in the waiting room on an iPad, so they don't go to a genetic counselor unless they have a family history, but if they're getting the test for therapeutic purposes, they look at the video. I thought that made a lot of sense. Well, are you doing that too?
The consenting for the MSK impact includes two parts. The first is for the sequencing for looking for somatic alterations. Part two, which is a separate consent, is for the germline. That is done by video, which essentially ensures that patients are getting consistent information about the test. An important finding from the germline analysis is that the family history alone is insufficient to identify patients who have significant risk. So we have worked out several algorithms in order to screen which patients actually need a full genetic counselor. Obviously, we've had staff, but I think this is a real issue. And there have been a number of collaborative efforts now through the Prostate Cancer Consortium to make sure that these are handled appropriately.
There is a lot of debate, I hear, in ovarian cancer about whether to start out with germline testing or somatic testing and then reflex back into germline. Oliver, can you just kind of give the doc in practice some practical guidance? You have a younger patient who's running out of options in terms of testing. So just BRCA germline, germline panel, what about NGS, somatic testing, and general community practice right now?
So I think the data really are quite strong now for the use of germline testing. We use a panel approach in those with metastatic disease, and we test every single patient. Now, the somatic is a little more complicated because at times you may have old biopsies or old radical prostatectomies from 20 years ago. We've been using a lot of circulating tumor DNA. I don't know how good it is, but I do know that we now have an MSI readout, and in that setting, plus we can pick up BRCA. We're missing the deletions, I know that for a fact, so things like RB, we're going to be missing even if it's deleted. But what I'll say is that we're trying to profile these patients, and we're learning about the application in terms of therapy. I feel like we have a lot more to learn, but I think with the BRCA1, BRCA2, we have pretty good PARP data. But don't forget about platinum, please, because platinum is quite active in this setting.
That's a great point. And Howard, we were doing a symposium and Rob Dreiser was there and he brought up the issue of liquid biopsies looking for PARP. And Oliver just referred to it. What do you get out of liquid biopsies in terms of BRCA, Howard? Is it worth doing?
In some cases it can be detected, but again, you have to be very careful in terms of the assay because there is a marked amount of inconsistency in the field. And this is still a real problem. If you actually look at the number of publications on cell-free DNA, they are innumerable. But right now, the only real approved tests are for mutations for which there are clearly actionable drugs. So again, you can get this information. Emmanuel, remember a study I mentioned earlier, took this essentially the same sample and sent it to two very large laboratories and got different results. So again, there are now cell-free groups that have formal FDA approval, and I would be very careful about making sure that you're going to a group that has that level of endorsement.